Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Everybody well? Today is the first Sunday of May. We have about 1 month to go for the circuit breaker. That's provided if everything goes well. That's provided if everything goes well. And in the larger scheme of things, it's not necessarily just whether things go well in Singapore, because if the situation worsens in other countries, it may not be as simple as saying because our numbers go down, then we can just open up. Yeah, because Singapore relies a lot on our trade and interaction with other countries as far as our businesses are concerned. But meanwhile, today is kind of special. Today is not just the first week of May, but it's also the Sunday before Vesak. 4 days to go, and it's Vesak Day. This year's Vesak is kind of special, because this year will be the first time I personally experience Vesak online, purely online, So in the past few weeks, there has been different organization, different parties, and even students who ask me like, so how is it going to be different, you know? Obviously we will not be having the celebrations in the temple. So then what is the impact? What is the impact? In a way, for me, yes and no. Because when I was ordained, the monastery I was in is in US. My late teacher, Sang Miao Xia Jing Lao He Sang, he's from Northeast China. And by the time I got to know him, the monastery was in the state of New Mexico. That's one of the southern states in US, mid-south. And in our monastery, we don't really celebrate Vesak. Because it is lessons as usual. Of course, on that day itself is also the full moon day, so we would usually have our once every 2 weeks recitation of the precepts, the Patimokkha, Pratimosha, if you will, in Sanskrit. Other than that, it's the same, as they say, business as usual. Even Chinese New Year, like throughout the whole year, the few days that actually has any difference would be at the start of the rains retreat and at the end of the rains retreat, where we have some in a way, the you can call it a ceremony, but it's more the we call it 做节目. So we have a community meeting, so to speak, where we officiate the start of the rains retreat and also the end of the rains retreat. Other than that, every week is more or less the same. Monday Vinaya class, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have the sutra, sastra commentary class. Thursday is 1 day break. But break doesn't mean we don't do our practices, it's just a lesson that is not there. And then the duty monks would go down, and usually it's one or two only, go down to run errands, get supplies, groceries and stuff like that, check mail. And then Friday, Saturday is again classes. Then Sunday is our 1 day retreat, followed by the Great Compassionate Repentance Puja and like Tabei Chan. then it's back to Monday again. So during the rain, sometimes we may have extended retreats, but otherwise it's the same. So when I came back to Singapore, the celebration of Vesak was, to tell the truth, a bit overwhelming. Because like the whole year round is like, Dharma sharing classes, retreats, and then suddenly on Vesak, wow, the intensity just go up. So when some students ask me, is there any special celebration? I'm kind of tempted to say no. Because it's not like only on that day then there's end of suffering. That can be end of suffering. The celebration of Vesak commemorates 3 days, three occasions. First, the birth of the Buddha. Second, the enlightenment of the Buddha. And third, the final passing, parinibbana of the Buddha. The three, in a way, culminate in the conquering of suffering. And this conquering of suffering is not a celebration. In a way, it's not a celebration just for Buddhists, although it's usually celebrated by Buddhists because we learn about it and we recognize this as the ending of suffering. But this conquering of suffering is not it's not restricted to Buddhists. It is like the discovery of penicillin, where it's not limited to just people of a certain community or a certain race, a certain nationality, or a gender for that matter. But it's open to all. So when we celebrate Vesak, it is a day to remember this, a day to remember that 2,600 over years ago, someone first in our known history overcome suffering. That is humanly possible. And so it gives us a lot of inspiration, a lot of hope, if you will. But a lot of perhaps impetus for us to consider that despite our imperfections, despite our failings, our flaws, we are capable of transcending all that. And when we say we, it's not just we as in me, but others as well. So on one hand, it's to recognize that we can change, we can improve. So we don't have to be disheartened, we don't have to give up. We can and should continue to try and persevere. And outwardly is to consider that while sometimes we may meet people who seem like beyond hope, but to realize that even the worst among us is capable of that transformation if only given the right condition. And so then we remain open to that possibility. And we give people the chance, that space and time to change. So to me, the celebration of Vesak is not something that we should limit ourselves to just on the Vesak day itself. But every day when we wake up, we should consider, will this be my Vesak day? Will I awaken today? To what extent can I awaken today? To what extent will I be the conditions for others awakening? Or to what extent will I be the conditions for others dukkha, for others suffering? Will I be Buddha or will I be Mara? Every day, every moment is an opportunity for us to reflect on that. But humans being humans, we humans, not that you are human, I'm not human, I'm also very human. It's still good to have one day, specially for that. and we call that day Vesak day. Typically it falls on the in May, if not June, sometimes a bit earlier in April. But on the fifth month, the first lunar calendar, the first lunar full moon, yeah. In some traditions, then there are two dates, yeah. And so sometimes in some countries, the dates may be the first full moon or the second full moon, yeah. Because in some month there's two full moons. So whichever the case and whichever traditions we belong to, take this opportunity to do some reflections. There are a lot of talks online, so I'm still thinking whether there's a need for me to have a special celebration on Thursday, this coming 7th. I sometimes feel a bit, how do I call it? I feel like if there's a lot of like let's say a talk. If there are a lot of people giving talks really, then I really don't see a point of giving another talk. Yeah, especially when there's only one day. And because there's only one day, then if multiple venerables all give talks all at once, then you all will be hard-pressed. So what are you going to do? Open up multiple windows to look at, watch all the talks. So I think no need. Yeah. But in case if you all have any special topics, yeah, that you all like to listen to, then post it or PM me, and if there's a need, then we'll have one. Or if you have some ideas for some celebration, yeah, you all can post, send to me, and then we can do something. Yeah, otherwise, just do your practice. Yeah, and whichever center you are more closely affiliated to, yeah. Whichever tradition you are more inclined to, or for that matter, whichever online celebration you chance upon, then just go and participate. Go and support all the efforts that people put in, yeah, all the different organizations put in. Yeah. Most importantly, spend a day reflecting. A long time ago, the Buddha was just like us, unenlightened. But for a long time now, he has attained enlightenment. What about us? What about us? Yeah. Let's strive towards enlightenment. Yeah. So today's topic is interesting. A few days, last week, some days back, I got some of the volunteers to think. Yeah, I told them, come up with some topics. So they came up with a whole list of different topics. This is one of the ones that came up. So today's topic will be on attachment. Yeah, on attachment. Let me just look through the comments and see if there's anything I missed out so far. For those who just came on board, welcome. Yeah. Today's topic is on attachment. Is it all bad? Yeah. When I saw the topic, I was like, okay, this is going to be a short talk. Short answer, yes. Yeah. This is the shortest talk ever. Yeah. Attachment, is it all bad? Yes. End of talk. Yeah. Then I thought, well, it depends. Because the word attachment is just a word, yeah, and because it's a word, it's in a way subjected to how you understand and interpret it, yeah. Because the Buddha didn't teach in English, yeah, and even English used in the past and now is a bit different, so. What do we mean by attachment? So I want you all to perhaps in this session try to convince me. Some of you may want to convince me that attachment is all bad. Some of you may want to convince me that attachment, some are quite okay. Yeah. So first, I want you all to think about the attachments you have. Or for that matter, what is attachment? Yeah. So think about it, and then I want you all to just write down into the comments. Bear in mind that this is public, the comments. Yeah. But to progress in the practice, we need to be forthcoming. Yeah. So what are our attachments? Yeah. And to what extent does it mean by attachment? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna give you 1 minute to think about it, and then write down. Wei Fen has got the ball rolling. Bubble tea. Yeah. Yes. Xue Jun Zhang. Yes, Ichut. Yes, I have Ichut you. Samantha wrote longing for permanence. Attachment to venerable? Do you Xue Jun, do you mean attachment to venerable? Wow. Attachment to moral ethics. Ah, interesting. Okay, so I'm gonna just switch over to the whiteboard. Keep it coming, okay? I'm gonna just write down as your share. So today's topic, let me just get the whiteboard up. Okay, very good. So attachments. Yeah, so yesterday we had a meeting and I'm getting used to using this shape. I think it's better than me trying to draw the shapes. Okay, good, everybody's warm up. Let's write it down. So we first have the bubble tea, but let's move this to the center, and then we're gonna do some mind map. I like to do mind maps. Mind maps help us to visualize things, and you know, and then we can have discussion. So we have bubble tea. We have I'm gonna just put it down, and then we can see what happens. Someone. Xue Jun mentioned about venerable. I don't know what that implies. Longing for permanence. Longing for permanence. And then attachment to moral ethics. Wow, these are very heavy. Try to write slower, because when I write fast, my handwriting go crazy. So Xue Jun asks, is there such a thing as good or bad attachment? This is something interesting. We'll explore. So we have Dharma. I'm going to erase this because it's basically just moral ethics. So let's see. Relationships. And perhaps relationships can be general, not just relationships to humans, but relationships in general. Relationships. Things we put a lot of effort and focus on. Yeah. Attachment to body. Okay, very good. Human relations, Dharma, joy. Yeah, attachment to sounds, comments, good or bad. So that is attachments to sound. Okay, so we have sound, and then here we have speech. Looks like today's talk is going to be quite long. Attachment to body, and in turn to life. Enlightenment. Let's see how that fits in. Enlightenment. Yeah. High expectations and materialistic life. So, we can say materialism here. Attachment to I, wow, this is quite Dharma. The I, my, and myself. What am I writing? Myself. Attachment is desire on something. I don't think this is good in a way to push or motivate individuals to achieve it, but if do the best, result is uncontrollable and should not attach or bothered on it. Attachment to relationships and want it to be permanent. It's a form of grasping onto whatever thing that we want. We keep wanting. Okay, good. So let me just write down some of this thing. So this is, I'm going to change the color here. So desire and give motivation and besides that, it is also a form of grasping. Okay, I think I'm going to just quickly run through attachment to the past, and then I'm going to sort of wrap up here. Oh, color is not the same. Clinging, craving, attachment to self, perfection. Okay. Our identity. The wanting to do what we enjoy or like. So it's also the ones. Let's look at this. What we enjoy and what we like. Okay, oh, now it's overflowing. Desired attachment to Japanese anime. Okay, I'm gonna write one or two more and then we're gonna start looking at things. Japanese anime, mobile games, app, all this can be grouped under entertainment. Okay. Attachment to want to be free of suffering. Oh, this is interesting. And then, so we have to be free. Okay, I'm going to pause here. I do apologize for not being able to write down everything, because every three I write down, five more appear, 10 more appear. Now we have I have 38 that I haven't written down. So I'm going to just start from here, okay? So after that, I'm going to look through the rest, and then we can perhaps revisit, okay? So, Thanks for the very enthusiastic input. All right, so we have quite a lot of things to work with here. So attachments, is it all bad? So let's take a look. I'm gonna just group some of them. Okay, so let's take a look. We have I'm gonna use a highlighter. So we have some things which are somewhat worldly. Okay, we have relationships, which is I think most would agree is worldly. This is worldly. Body is worldly. Sound is worldly. Bubble tea, yes, is I think most would agree is worldly. And then we have entertainment. So we have these, which are the worldly things that we are attached to. Myself, I'm going to leave this part first. The past, this one is also an interesting category. I'm going to just leave it apart first. All this that I've highlighted, we can say that for the most part, it's about the present experience of them. And once it has passed, then it goes into the past. So that's why I want to leave the past part separate. Okay, so I'm going to change this to a slightly different color, maybe pink. Okay, so the past is one special category by itself because it includes all the material things, all the worldly things. Because we can say that it's in the present and then whatever is in the past. And we can also then, by extension, look at it in terms of the future. Right? So I'm going to group future and past together. Because when you talk about the past and future, it cannot be apart from the sound, body, things, relationships, entertainment, bubble tea, There's no past to talk about apart from the present. And there's no future to talk about apart from the present. If the future just remain in the future, then doesn't do anything for us. At some point, the future become the present, which is what we experience, and how we experience it and how we relate to it is what matters. We're going to look at the past and future as well later. But the starting point is the present in terms of all that. Because that is what directly affects us. Then the past and the future do affect us, but in an indirect way. And then we have interesting, some other interesting areas, like some of you are attached to Dharma, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Some of you are attached to moral ethics. I don't know how many of you are. Some of you are attached to enlightenment, I say. What else? Attached to be free of suffering. I don't know what. I don't know what. Who is that? The Shejin meant when he write venerable. So maybe this can be linked to relationships. Can be linked to the relationships. Okay, because teacher student is a form of relationships. Relationships is not just about it's not just amorous relationships. Between friends can be a relationship. When you get into a Grab vehicle, when you get into a bus, you get into a train, you have a relationship with others, with fellow passengers. So relationships cover any kind of human-human interaction. So I would, for now, put venerable under that relationships. What else? So I left out I, my, and myself. Because this is again in relation to the rest, yeah, the rest of the things. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a slightly different color. I'm gonna give it a green color. So, and then longing for permanence. Yeah, so I also left this out because the attachment to permanence or longing for permanence is always with respect to something. Yeah. Even when we say, oh, I'm attached to the longing for permanence in and by itself, then you are actually, we could say that there is more attachment to the concept of permanence, because permanence itself don't exist. Yeah. It doesn't exist by itself. You cannot have permanence floating in the air by itself. Permanence is always regards to something. Yeah. So unless you are talking about the concept of permanence, otherwise permanence don't exist by itself. So, so this is also an interesting separate category in a way. So this one, okay, this is something unique. Let's see. So we have others that some of you wrote in opinions and beliefs. Yes. Oh. So I'm going to just write down a few more. Opinions and beliefs. So this is, in a way, can be worldly, can be otherworldly also. Yeah, attachment to happiness. So this is like the antithesis of. This is the same as this happiness, end of suffering. Mm. Okay, so enough, and we will look through the list again. So, question: when we ask the, when we look at this title, is it all bad? When do we say that something is bad? In this case, attachment. Yeah. In the context of Buddhism, we say that sometimes we use the word bad, and when we do use the word bad, usually we use the word unwholesome, fruitless, things like that. Okay, or tainted, impure. It is that. It leads to suffering. Yeah. If it doesn't lead to suffering, then we say it's, well, not bad. Yeah. So, attachment to bubble tea, attachment to sound, attachment to body, things, relationship, entertainment. Yeah. Let's just use this as an examples, some examples, and pare it down. Show of hands, how many of you are attached to bubble tea? Mm. Now during this period, y'all cannot have bubble tea. Yeah. So let's look at bubble tea as an example, and then we say, okay, being attached to bubble tea, now with circuit breaker, no bubble tea. Yeah. Circuit breaker means no bubble tea, right? So what happened? For those of you who are attached to bubble tea and with the circuit breaker, what happened to you? You don't get bubble tea. And when you don't get bubble tea, what happened to you? Not for me to tell you what happened to you. You have to tell me what happened to you. Tell us, share with us what happened to you. Weifen, just now Weifen wrote attachment to bubble tea. I know there are more people than just one who has attachment to bubble tea. Yeah. Yes, Edmund. The Chinese word for attachment would be 执着 or 执着. Yeah. So. What happened? when we don't get our bubble tea, when we are attached to bubble tea, I would think that it means that we want bubble tea, right? Let's look at this category first. Later we can look at things that we are attached to and we don't want, okay? And what the implications are. So if you are attached to bubble tea, let's assume for a start, looking at the first category, that it means that you want bubble tea. And now with the circuit breaker, we're not here to discuss whether we should tear off. Yeah, I'm not against circuit breaker. I'm actually all for the circuit breaker. But to look at it and say, okay, without the circuit breaker, we can have our bubble tea. Now with circuit breaker, we can't. So are we happier or less happy? I would say we are less happy, isn't it? Yeah. So without the bubble tea, then we crave for bubble tea because we are attached to bubble tea. Li Hui says, make your own bubble tea. Very good. So this is what we do, isn't it? When we are attached to something and we don't get it, so we just try to work around. We just try to go. When we say make our own bubble tea, what are we trying to do? We are trying to sort of solve the problem of not having bubble tea so that we satisfy our craving for bubble tea, our want of bubble tea. Yeah. Yeah. So all things Lei Hua Gui Lei, is it Gui Lei or Lei Hua? I think it should be Lei Hua, Lei Hua. So Lei Hua says all things changes according to conditions. No bubble tea due to circuit breaker. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Hey, so only 2 or 3% is into bubble tea. Huh? Esther says no, not attached to bubble tea. Yeah. Now, when we use bubble tea as an example, don't get stuck with the example, okay? Replace it with whatever you are attached to, because Sifu cannot possibly write down every single thing you are attached to, and then we are just writing down the whole world. Okay, we are attached to the world, right? So, whatever example that we use, it will definitely not, or rather, we cannot possibly use all examples all at once, okay? So whatever example I use, there'll be some of you who say, yeah, that's what I'm attached to. But there'll be some of you who say, oh, well, I'm not so attached to it, yeah? So we can do it a few ways. The first way is, as we go through the example, you consider the example by itself. So if you're attached to it, ask yourself what happened to you. Being attached to it, and you don't get to have it, what happened? Do you feel happier or less happy? Yeah. Some of you suggest that we can make our own bubble tea. So when we can make it, are you happier or less happy? If you cannot make it, are you happier or less happy? Yeah, it's that simple. And for those who are not into bubble tea, you can ask yourself the same question. The fact that you are not attached to bubble tea, and now with the changes in the measures, bubble tea shops, yeah, by and large are required to shut down. So then, does it affect you? The fact that you are not attached to it, we are not attached, and so we are not affected, isn't it? Yeah, whether there is or not. So from these two groups, we can see this distinctive difference in the way we respond to something, yeah, depending on whether we are attached to it, number one. Number two, whether we have easy access to it according to our wishes. And all this is from you. We're not pulling in some special esoteric Dharma to teach. Yeah. Because the Dharma is about how we are. It's not describing some alien species out there. It's not describing some profound, well, it is profound, but it's not describing something that is apart from how and who we are. Yeah. Attachment is describing us, unenlightened beings. Yeah. So we should know better. Yeah. So let's look at the writing here. So let's zoom in a bit here, okay? Without, so bubble tea plus, so circuit breaker, as I mentioned earlier, this means that there's no bubble tea. So if you have attachment to bubble tea, yeah, and you cannot get it, then happier, sad, sadder, sad, or unhappy. Yeah, so so in Buddhism, we don't say that you, in a way, when we say that attachment is bad, it is that our attachment causes us to respond in a certain way when we, when the thing we are attached to is beyond our control. Yeah. So attachment in and by itself has certain connotations of control. That we want, whatever we are attached to, we have a tendency to want it to go our way. Yeah. So the attachment to things is in turn linked to the attachment to ourselves, whether it's my way or my thinking or my wishes. Yeah. And that's why I put the I, my, myself a bit separately. So, so what have we heard so far? We are happier or okay when there's no attachment. Yeah. If there's no attachment, then no problem. But we can become unhappy if there is attachment. And if I were to, let's say, I like to draw a graph. So if let's say we, let me see. If we draw a graph here. Okay, and we have the so we have a suffering here, and we have attachment here, maybe I should draw a longer line. Let me try to draw a longer line here. Because our attachment is a lot. Attachment. So, if we were to plot a graph, okay, we plot a suffering, attachment versus suffering graph, how will it look like? If you have no attachment, would there be any suffering? Or if you have this much of attachment, how much suffering will we have? Will it be here, 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 or here? Let me give you all a multiple choice, okay? Then you all must answer A, B, C, or D. Let's see. What if our attachments are beneficial? Example exercise. Yeah, slowly, slowly, one at a time. Okay, I'm going to touch on this shortly. Yeah, because bubble tea came up first, so we're going to look at that. Wouldn't die without bubble tea. Non-essential. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. So think about it. Okay. bubble tea came up first, so we use that. Then I want you all, those of you who are not attached to bubble tea, to consider. Because we are not attached to it, so do we suffer more or less? Yeah, or perhaps even here. Yeah. So in this case, we have attachment at different level. Okay, I don't say that everybody is attached to bubble tea. Yeah, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so question. Yeah, like if we were to look at the answer so far, I think in general, we would agree that if you have no attachment to bubble tea, then you wouldn't suffer due to it. If you have a bit of attachment, then you may suffer a bit more. And if you were to be more attached to it, then you would suffer correspondingly more and more. Yeah. Now I just happen to draw a linear relationship. It may not be a linear relationship, maybe it's exponential or maybe quadratic in nature. Yeah. So roughly if you plot the line, it's going to be like that, more or less. Yeah. Let me see. I want it to pass across the origin for obvious reasons. Okay, more or less like that. Do you all agree? So now some of you have asked, what about if it's attachment to other things? Yeah, so if we look at the mind map here, ask yourself, what are the things that are beneficial? What are the things that is not beneficial? Yeah, or rather, what are the things that is not so clear-cut beneficial? Like bubble tea, well, it quenches your thirst, but is it a must-have thing? Yeah, exercise. So Li Hui give an example. If our attachments are beneficial, exercise. Attached to doing exercise, and we are always able to have access to it, then is it okay? These are good questions. Chloe says, won't die without bubble tea. Yes, it's non-essential. Yeah, so if you look at it as non-essential, then you're probably not attached to it. Yeah, and so the question is, because here we are looking at attachment, so when you see the examples given by others, that is something that you're not attached to, don't just dismiss it and say that I'm not attached to that. But ask yourself, use that as a reverse example to ask yourself, okay, there are things that I'm attached to in my life, but there are also things I'm not attached to. Yeah. So of all the things we are attached to and not attached to, which of this group would cause us to become disturbed, yeah, would disturb our peace when we don't have it, when we are not in control of it? Is it the one that we are attached to or the one we are not attached to? Yeah, which is the one? And I would like to think that I think for most people, it will be the one that we are attached to, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe your desires are not strong enough to constitute to attachment. Yes. So, we are. The thing we must know is that Buddhism is not in the business of. We are not in the business of. Or in the It's not our duty to force people to acknowledge attachment, to say that no, this is attachment, this is bad, you must give up. But rather is today I see it differently. In the past I may look at it that way, but today I look at it more like the Buddha observed that the way we relate to things affect the way we respond to them, we react to them when something happens to all these things. And depending on how we relate to them, whether with more attachment, more desire or less, then we are affected more or less. That's all the, in a way, in a nutshell, if you look at all the Buddha's teaching, it centers around this. Yeah. To help us look at our existence and everything around us, how are we relating to things? And is it in line with reality? And even more importantly, that the way we relate to it, does it lead to more agitation in our mind? Lead to us being unsettled? So in a way, as I said, yes and no, we are not here to put a stamp and say, okay, this is a checklist. I mean, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. We can just circle. And some of you come online hoping that Shifu, you know, this monk or that nun would just list down, these are the bad things, these are the good things. Yeah. We can do that. And I'm sure, you know, you can find teachings that do that. But that itself may not quite cut it, actually, because you need to see it. Yeah, and this is the purpose of this session. Not so much to just list out a list of good and bad, but to get you to think for yourself, to examine for yourself. And not examine in a sense, not from a starting point of this is bad because of this, but to ask yourself your own experience, when you have more attachment towards something, what does that do to you? What does that do for you? Because this is what Dharma is, your own observation and experience. Honest experience, and honest, not just kidding yourself. Not what you wish reality to be, but what you really observe to be the case. Oh. So, yes, I agree with what you all wrote, that if you are not so attached to something, like in this case bubble tea, then you are okay. But some of you raise interesting points about things that is more essential. Yeah, attachment to life, for example, yeah, and living. Because if not, then you'll die. Yeah. So there are attachments which is to the non-essential. Yeah, entertainment is like whole broad category. Yeah. But how about attachment to life itself? That should be essential. Yeah. Now if you look at the Buddha's teaching, attachment to life itself lead to suffering also. Yeah. Now, before we jump in and say that, oh, then in that case, we shouldn't take care of our body and so on. Well, in the Buddhist practice, the relation to the body is very interesting. That you see the vehicle as a support, as a tool for you to learn and practice, for you to use as a vehicle to help others. Yeah. So in all the teachings, you see that there is mention of subsistence maintenance. Yeah. So in particular, it is for those who are doing cultivation. Okay. Yeah. The Buddha didn't expect this of lay people. Yeah. Not that we look down on lay people, but is that your goal is different. Yeah, if your goal is enlightenment, then you notice that there's this term called the four basic requisites. 衣食住药, that the Buddha allowed this. In addition, the Buddha subsequently allowed other items that is life-sustaining, that supports the practice. So, is that a form of attachment? That's a question. That's a question mark. Sustaining something, using something, does it mean we are attached to it? I brought a prop today. I have two props here. The first one is what we are familiar with, a handphone. The second is also what we are familiar with, a toothbrush. We use the toothbrush and our handphones in our life. Today, I think most people use the handphone a lot more than a toothbrush. Minimally, I think everybody uses it once a day. Some maybe twice or three times after every meal. The handphone, I think in modern times, especially in modern Singapore, we kind of cannot imagine living without it. So is it an essential? Is this an essential? But what happened if you lose your toothbrush? If you misplace your toothbrush, some may say and argue that, oh, because all my data is inside. But let's say now, if your handphone, everything is on the cloud, then it's okay. That means you may say, oh, but this is cheap, this is expensive. So what if both can be replaced as easily? By right, we should be okay. But ask yourself, will you be okay? And if we are not okay simply because of that, then it means that it's not the handphone we are attached to, it's the data we are attached to. But why do I bring out a toothbrush? Because the more we look at the teachings that the Buddha gave to the monastics, the more it seems like the way the monastics and whoever wants to cultivate towards enlightenment should relate to the body, should be relating to it like a toothbrush, where you maintain it. After you use, you should clean it. You keep it in a dry place, let it dry so that it doesn't grow mold and so on. Have germs, but you use it only to the extent of using it. We don't bring around our toothbrush and like call it like our precious, isn't it? We don't think much about it. We just use it. But do we relate to this body in this same way? So from there, perhaps we can see the fine line between what is really essential versus attachment. And if it's something essential like breathing, can we still say that it's an attachment? Because in the text, then ultimately there is this thing about attachment to life, the grasping. Or today I was looking at some text about upadana, it's a very lengthy online discussion by various individuals, various translators. Talking about whether it should be this upadana, is it clinging, or is it grasping, or is it taking up, or appropriation. In Chinese, it's qi, and has that connotation of 执着, qi, So, in the ultimate sense, if you are striving towards enlightenment, then all forms of grasping, clinging, attachments would be an impediment. So if you want to attain enlightenment, then all forms of attachment is ultimately bad. Now this is not not a popular thing to say, and some of us may not agree. But before we jump in and say we don't agree, we've got to ask ourselves, what is our starting point? Or what is our end goal, rather? Our starting point as in where are we headed? Yeah, if our aim is to say, yeah, I like to learn Buddhism, but I'm not quite ready to attain enlightenment. You know, I always ask this question half joking. How many of you would like to attain enlightenment by Wednesday, 3:35 p.m.? And just nice, you know, Wednesday would be the Vesak Eve. Yeah, how many of you are ready to attain enlightenment by Vesak Eve? 4 days to go. Yeah. The thing is, I think for most people, we may find Buddhism appealing, and we find that the teachings help us to look at things differently and have a clearer picture, but we may not be entirely ready, or we may not entirely want enlightenment yet. And so that would shape the way we look at some of the teachings, like in this case, how we relate to attachments. And so we may say, okay, the grosser attachments, yeah, that lead to very gross defilements, greed, hatred, delusion, yeah, yes, all these are attachments that are bad. But the subtler ones, no, it's okay. Yeah. But we have to recognize that this disparity is due to the difference between our goal and the ultimate goal of enlightenment. Yeah. It is not so much that that there are certain things that attachment would be okay, but don't take my word for it. Go and examine. Okay. So let me just look through. All the things that's listed besides bubble tea, like relationships, entertainment, all these are good topics. Instead of going through each of them individually, you can ask yourself, relationships, for example. Sometimes when we learn about non-attachment, perhaps there's something else I want to highlight about non-attachment versus attachment, which is that when it comes to relationships, or for that matter, what we talk about, yeah, attachment to the body, the trouble is, we have this very interesting view on attachment versus care. Yeah. So, for most people, it seems like attachment and care, concern, come together. So we have attachment. We have care and concern. Yes, no, yes, no. And then if you were to just very simply, draw a few lines here. And then one, two more. So we have this tendency to look at it and say, if you are attached to something, then we say, okay, I care about it. If I'm not attached to it, then I don't care for it. Yeah, this is how we usually look at things. Yeah, whether it is, and this for the most part, I think holds true for most people, regardless of whether it's bubble tea, entertainment, relationships, things, body, sound, etc. Yeah, but is this the only way to look at things? Yeah, that we care only when we are attached to it, and we don't care when we are not attached to it. Yeah. And this is the tricky part. Because of that, yeah, because we are used to caring only when we are attached to things, attached to people, attached to whatever. So when we learn about non-attachment, we may learn that, oh, attachment can bring suffering. In fact, we don't need to learn that. We should observe it ourselves. Yes, we need to learn that. We learned that in Dharma class, but after learning, we need to go and check. Is it true? The trouble is halfway through checking, then we may end up, we may start to ponder and say, hey, but if I don't, if I drop my attachment, if I cultivate and remove my attachment, then I cannot care anymore. And this is the thing. And it will cause us to, it will color the way we look at non-attachment itself and cause us not to be able to put aside our attachment, because we have linked attachment with care. Now, this is a wrong, what do you call that? This is a wrong linking. Yeah, or rather, it's a false association that we have gotten so used to it. Yeah, I'm not attached, then I don't care. If I'm attached, I have to care, or I care, then I'm attached. Yeah. In the Buddhist teaching, we develop caring with no attachment. Yeah. This is the difficult part. How to care without attachment? Of course, if you have attachment but don't care, I don't know what that is. Attachment without caring. Yeah, I think that seems quite narcissistic. You're just attached but you don't care about it anyway. Yeah. So, this part here. This is not easy to do. To care without attachment. But this is important to explore and to cultivate, to develop, because this kind of caring, this kind of concern doesn't bring suffering. Yeah. Attachment brings suffering. And this is important, especially because when we care with attachment, it brings suffering. We wrongly associate the suffering with us caring. And we think that sometimes, you know, you hear of people blocking, creating this emotional wall and not care. Why? Because they are afraid of being hurt. But it's not the caring that harms us. It's our attachment. And in turn, this attachment to self equals to our ego. It is this that brings suffering, not the caring. Caring doesn't have to bring suffering. If caring can bring suffering, then Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, the Arahants who care so much, they care even more than us, right? They care for all sentient beings. Yeah, innumerable, immeasurable sentient beings. Then by definition, shouldn't they suffer more? But we see that they are the sorrowless ones, yeah, free from suffering. Yeah, think about that. So, is all forms of attachment bad? Short answer, yes, but that doesn't cut. Yeah. So I rather invite you to explore, to think, yeah, to go and examine whatever you are attached to. Write down three things. If there's a takeaway for this class, this session, I want you all to try, okay? I want to invite you all to try. Write down three things you are attached to. And maybe in terms of severity, mildly attached to, moderately attached to, severely, heavily attached to. Yeah, and you draw the chart yourself. Yeah, and ask yourself, okay, does it lead to more suffering or less suffering? And then explore. Is it possible to to do this. Yeah. To care without attachment. Yeah. In the Buddhist teaching, this is the direction. That we care without the attachment. And how to care without attachment? Really focus on the suffering of others. Really focus on the happiness of others. The trouble is, even though we say we are attached to something, our focus is on ourselves. Attachment is actually focused on ourselves. Yeah. When we are attached to something, and something happened to that thing, where are we suffering? It's because of the impact on us, isn't it? Whether it's bubble tea or relationships. Take relationships for example. Let's say your boyfriend or girlfriend decided to end the relationship. Yeah, this is an example I've been going through. Or your husband or wife decided, you know, things are over. I'm not encouraging people to just end relationships at the whims. But ask yourself, when there's a breakup, why do we suffer? Are we suffering because something bad happened to the other person? In all likelihood, actually nothing bad happened to the other person. In fact, perhaps objectively, something good happened to the other person because the other person figured out a different way to be happy. The trouble is that way of being happy is not with us. So we suffer. That's why we are sad. I'm probably oversimplifying it. Yeah, relationships are not so simple. But I hope I'm not trivializing it because I'm not trying to trivialize it. Yeah. Relationships are a very important part of human life, but if we were to honestly examine it, our suffering indeed comes from our preoccupation. Call it attachment, call it preoccupation, our concern with how we feel. Yeah. So if we truly learn how to care, to focus on the other person, and imagine if, let's say, your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife, you know, one day say, hey, let's have a talk. And now, circuit breaker, let's have a talk on WhatsApp, on Skype, on Tencent meeting. You know, have a talk. Yeah, whenever your partner says, let's have a talk, it's never good, huh? Yeah. And then your partner says, I've thought through things. This may not be the best time, but you know, I think it's time we go our separate ways. If we are really focused on their happiness, what? And look at it. So your partner has decided that going separate way is the way to go for him or her to be happy. If your focus is on their happiness, oh good. Yeah. But in a relationship, we are focused not just on their happiness, but on our happiness as well. No crime and shame in that, but it's important to recognize that. Yeah, and to realize that it is this part that causes suffering, which is the attachment not just to that person, but how that person makes us feel. Yeah, and in turn, it's about us again. Yeah. So, how to care without attachment? Yeah, focus really on what we care. And while caring, realize that no matter how we care, the outcome don't just depend on us. That we don't have absolute control over the outcome as well. Yeah, again, the famous verse, 因上努力，果上随缘. So as far as the cause is concerned, so this is the cause and the fruit. So as far as the cost is concerned, you must put in effort, put in diligence. Yeah, try our best. As far as the fruit is concerned, then we have to go with the conditions. But we Chinese, we like to be brief. 因上努力,果上随缘, too long. Yeah, too long. Take it out. 果上随缘, too long. Take it out. So we end up with 随缘. Yeah, we just end up with 随缘. But if you compare the two, the meaning is very different, isn't it? Yeah, nowadays we tend to just, we learn Buddhism, then just, 一切随缘,随缘. But we forget the 因上努力. So when we care, really put in effort, yeah, focusing on the welfare and well-being of the other person, if it's a relationship, if it's a thing, focus on the welfare of the larger community and the thing itself, what is the best for this thing. If it's work, yeah, I think the previous lessons I mentioned about how if we were to focus on the on ourselves, then we end up fighting with each other. But if we focus on what is really good for the project, for the company, for the team, then we establish trust and teamwork. Same thing. So you can still care, but without attachment. How not to have attachment? There's a whole set of teaching, you know, reflecting on no self. But very directly, try to put in effort to focus less on me. Focus on others. Yeah. And this is a direct expression of compassion. Yeah. Focus on the happiness and suffering of others. Mm. Oh. So, I think that's all I have to share for today. Yeah. As I said, all these topics are in and by themselves worth spending time on to explore. We can definitely look into them specifically, but I hope the sharing on bubble tea as a general example and the example on relationships has been helpful. Let me just run through the comments and see if I miss out anything. Yeah. Attachment to precision, taming of the mind. Yeah. We can say that whenever we have attachment, whatever we are attached to is always linked back to us, we, mind. Yeah. When we say perfection, whose definition of perfection? It's because we identify with that definition as what is good. Yeah. When we say perfection, we definitely think that that standard of perfection is good. Yeah. And it's because we identify with it, we agree with it. Yeah, and we embrace it as me, as mine. Yeah. So attachment is always inevitably linked back to the ego, the me, the mind. We have recognized what state in... Could bubble tea be more of an addiction as opposed to being an attachment? Well, we can say that... Well, these are, again, choice of words, huh? You can say that addiction is an extreme form of attachment. Yeah. So Louis says that examine equals to experience it yourself. Without experience, it's not easy to relate. So this suffering is inevitable. Well, it is not that it's inevitable. And I think you may not mean that it's inevitable, but that at some point you may have to experience it. Yeah. But suffering is not inevitable, because if it's inevitable, then why are we cultivating? Because it's inevitable. Yeah, it's not inevitable. It is conditional. Only when there are conditions, then there's suffering. Oh. From the context of feeling, the feeling of good and bad will trigger the attachment in us towards the worldly phenomena. Kokwa says that this feeling, the sensation, Yes and no. It can be a condition, but only because we relate to it wrongly. Yeah. If we see it truly that this is not something tangible. This is something that is ephemeral, and not just thinking about it being ephemeral or insubstantial, but to truly see that it's insubstantial. That it comes, it goes, it depends on conditions. It doesn't have any essence by itself. Then it will not trigger attachment. Yeah, but you are right that for most people, as long as you experience something, it can lead to attachment. Hello, Rod. Rod Bunka from Thailand. Good to see you online. Gek Sing says me. Yes, very good. We are all attached to the me. Hui Cheng, how we know if we can attain by Vesak if? How we know? The three things that I mentioned to write down attachment, I'll try to go and learn more about it first. Yeah. Lei Hua, you're welcome. A job that you hate. Yeah, strangely enough, even things that we hate, we're attached to it. Yeah, if you're not attached to it, you won't think about it. Yeah. So Chloe mentioned we care for our elderly parents and give recommendations. We need to practice caring without attachment. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? When we give advice and people don't take it, then we suffer. Yeah. Because we want to be in control of the outcome also, which is what we think is good. And perhaps what we think is good is really good. Yeah. But very importantly, it is that when we want to be in control and we hit reality, which is we are not in control, then we suffer. Yeah. Kok Hua says, is this an example of Li Chen You Ti? Caring without attachment, Li Chen You Ti. Because you write in Han Yi Ping, it can be a lot of different words. So if you can write in Chinese, I could perhaps answer. I'm not so sure what the Li Chen You Ti is, because Chinese are a lot of different tones. It can be many other things. Alika asks, can I ask if we care being attached, then we wouldn't care being attached. We wouldn't need to be in a relationship, right? Because we can independently be happy. We don't need the relationship to make us happy, hence less suffering. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. It's true, but it's not a familiar concept for most people. Yeah, because we grew up thinking of relationships as a source of happiness. It doesn't have to be a source of suffering, but the trouble is for the most part, our relationships tend to be with attachment. So if we can be in a relationship where we nurture the growth and support each other to do wholesome things, yeah, to be of service to others, to be of benefit to others, then such a relationship may not be bad. Yeah. The question is, why do we want to have that relationship? Yeah. The starting point is important. If it's a want that is due to attachment, then it's definitely going to be filled with attachment. Yeah. But conversely, we don't need to have relationships to be happy. Yes. Yeah. Care without being attached. Yes. Exactly. Can we have a substitute for something we strongly attach if we cannot let it go? Will it work? In a way, yes. Yeah. The Buddha very skillfully offer people substitutes. Yeah. And gradually substituting all the way until the final substitute is enlightenment. Then That is without substitute. How could we tell we are caring without attachment? Because we would still be attached, affected by the response of the person we care. We are human. Well, simple answer, if you are still affected, then yes, you are probably still attached. But when we say work towards it, you know, there's a progression. Don't set yourself up for failure with the kind of like, okay, I'm going to try to do this. Wow, this is a talk that makes sense. Tomorrow, or in fact, starting at 4 o'clock, I'm going to care without attachment. And then at 5 o'clock, you find that you're affected by what people say. And then you just say, oh, in that case, I can't do it. Forget about it. You don't have to be so dichotomous, either this or that. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the kind of polar opposites. Yeah, just try first lah. Oh. And when you suffer enough, then you'll stop being attached. Oh. Yeah, 七分靠打拼，三分靠天命. I am not sure whether I can agree with the 天命 part, but by 天命, if you mean a general term to refer to the flow of causality that has been planted through eons of conditioning, then yeah. But again, these statements like 三分多少, is some more often than not figurative. You know, it's like the 80-20 rule, not meant to be taken literally and go and calculate. Oh, if it's 81.5, then it's wrong. Not so much. Thank you, Shifu. Okay, I always felt just Wei Yuan is missing something. Yes, it is missing something. okay, so I think the rest are all the sadhu, sadhu. Thank you, thank you. You ai gu shen you, you ai gu shen bu. Ruo li yu ai zao, ai zhe, or yu ai zhe. Wu yu yu yi wu bu. Yes, very good. Indeed. Li chen you ti. Li chen you ti. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I guess so. I paraphrase this way, Shifu. Which way again? Tenzin, not too sure which way you're going to paraphrase. All right. So, to wrap up, are all attachments bad? It depends. Yeah. If you are trying to strive towards enlightenment and that is the goal, yeah, then yes, all forms of attachment binds us, fetters us, yeah, and it is what prevents the awakening, yeah, or liberation. But the link between attachment and caring and concern is perhaps a very crucial part of our understanding and growth, that if we don't see this link, then we end up feeling caught up, feeling lost, because it seems like the teaching is asking us to give up on caring. It's not. Yeah, it's asking us to relook at the way we relate to things, to people, to events that happen in our life, and ask ourselves, is the way we're relating to it, that we relate to it, is it in line with reality? Is it beneficial? Is it wholesome? Is it fruitful? The attachment, does it bring more suffering or less? And is the attachment really about that entity, or is it more about us? And if it's about us, then perhaps we can revisit. And if we were to try, test drive, and say, less attachment, yeah, and to begin with, go and examine our attachment. And we may find that, yeah, our attachment has that component that is about the ego, the self, the I, about control from our end. That's also the attachment to that person, but oftentimes it's linked back to us. To realize that we can care without the attachment part. And if we can care without attachment part, then it doesn't bring suffering. Yeah, and it, even then, the 应上努力，果上随缘. To keep that in mind. All right. So again, happy Vesak in advance. If you have any thoughts or suggestions or wish for a special session on Vesak Day or Eve itself, drop me a message. If there's a need, then we have. Otherwise, there's a lot of programs already. Yeah. So go and participate in all the programs that's out there. Support all the efforts that people have put in to celebrate Vesak. And most importantly, don't just celebrate the awakening of the Buddha on Vesak, but on a daily basis to recognize that that option is available to us and all as well. Amitabha.